You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 3 of our series, Summer Break, Breaking Away from Bad Theology. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
How many of you have ever experienced for yourself or even just heard the story of someone else maybe who received exactly what they needed at the exact moment that they needed it? Any of you? Few hands going up maybe. I have. I have both heard the stories of this happening to other people, and I've experienced them to be true in my very own life. For instance, I'll start with a story that I've heard of someone close to me. My mom just shared with me a very encouraging story a few weeks ago. She actually lives in Chicago, but like a proud mother, she follows along with everything that we do here at Mid-Current Church. So I am assured that at least one person will like me no matter what I do or say. So that's good news. But she actually watches faithfully online, and she even gives faithfully back to God on a monthly basis to God's work here. And over the last month, she has been getting my midweek emails where I have been encouraging all of us to step out in faith as it relates to some of the new hires we're making and some of the next steps we're taking here. And my communication to our church at large has been reminding all of you that I really believe that God shows up most in our lives when we are taking big leaps of faith and putting like nerve-wracking amounts of trust in Him. And my mom recently took me up on that kind of invitation, and she texted me all about this. She increased her monthly giving here by what she said. It was just a small amount. It was just a little bit. It wasn't very much, Sten, she texted me. But to her, this small increase in her current situation, it felt like a big leap of faith to her. Felt like a big leap to take. The very next day, a representative from her insurance company called to inform her that she qualified for a reduced monthly payment, all in the company's effort to be more competitive in the market. And the amount that she would now save per month was almost the very same amount that she had just committed in faith, that she had just committed to giving back to God one day prior. She told me it was as if God was whispering to her, "See, I told you, right? I take care of you." Okay. Eric and I have had a similar experience, one most recently that I actually shared here with all of you in church. Erica needed a new pair of glasses, which to her discouragement and disappointment ended up being a lot more expensive than we had originally anticipated. And on that same day, that very same day at work, she received a unique and unexpected overtime bonus that was the exact same amount to the dollar of the glasses that she had just apologetically purchased earlier in the day. And based on how generous that Erica and I try to be with what God has first given to us, we felt like it was God's way of whispering to us, "I got you. I got you." Okay? Stories like this are pretty cool, I got to admit. And I really do hope whether you experience them, you know, personally for yourselves, or whether you just hear about them from me or from someone else in your life, I really do hope that you are encouraged, maybe even motivated, maybe even inspired by stories like this, because I really do believe, I'm being serious with everything in me, I really do believe that God is behind some of the experiences like this. I really do believe that. But if we're not careful, stories like this, or maybe just stories in general, I should say, about God's blessings in our lives, stories like this, left unchecked, left unexamined, they could give us. They could give some people the wrong idea about God. Could give some people the wrong idea about why it is that God ever chooses to bless us in the first place. And I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea about God. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea about why we should be generous with what God has given to us, because the why matters. The why matters, right? The motivation of our heart when we are being generous matters. And so I wanna talk all about this relationship between giving and receiving, between generosity and God's blessing. I wanna talk all about this relationship in the second week of our series, Summer Break. The point of the series is not to give you a break from, you know, like work or responsibility. It's not, you know, a series that's encouraging you to like take a break from church. That's not the point of the series, okay? The goal of this series, Summer Break, is so that you and I, that all of us together, would break away from bad theology before it starts to break us. Now, theology, in case you're wondering if that sounds like a big, fancy, scary word, it is simply this, right? The theology is simply the study of or the understanding of the nature of God and maybe of the nature of Scripture. Quite literally, theology means thinking about God, okay? It's kind of like what I'm, in a sense, doing up here every Sunday, trying to get us thinking theologically about God. Quite literally, that's what it means, thinking about God. What we think to be true about God and what we think to be true about his nature and about his character ultimately has a way of influencing how we respond to God and how open we are to him and how interested that we are in what he has to say about the lives that we live. So it's important. It's important that we are dealing with good, wholesome theology, right? And so we need to be cautious then of this, is when certain thoughts about God come along, they kind of sound right, they kind of sound churchy even, and then they start to grow in popularity, or maybe they slowly, without even us knowing it, maybe these thoughts start to creep into, you know, just general Christian culture. This is what we need to be cautious of. When thoughts like that creep in, but actually give us the wrong idea about God or an inaccurate picture of how he operates and how he interacts with us without even knowing it, right? All of a sudden, we're thinking things that are true of God and about how he works and about how he interacts with us that aren't true. That's what we'd say is bad theology. Sounds good. Sounds kind of like churchy even. Like, yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, that sounds right. But it's not totally true. And it ultimately leads us down the wrong path. And what makes bad theology hard to identify is that it's oftentimes, like I said, it's something that it sounds kind of like, you know, religious-y, right? It kind of sounds like, sure, that sounds right. It's hard to identify because a lot of times bad theology that I want us to break away from, it oftentimes, it's a slight kind of twist of something that is true. That's what makes it hard to identify. For instance, if someone came along and told you that the sky is green, you wouldn't give them the time of day, right? Because the sky is very clearly not green. You're not tempted, you're not leaning in, you're not tempted to believe them or to entertain their thinking even in the slightest bit, because it's so clearly not. But if, on the other hand, someone told you, well, technically the sky is turquoise, like a shade of blue, you might be tempted to listen to what they have to say. You're going like, well, okay, I guess I could see maybe technically how, or I suppose it could be, right? The same kind of thing happens when it comes to bad theology. It starts with something that's kind of true, but it's then twisted and perverted into something that is not totally true. And that's what we gotta be careful of. And I think this is what has happened when it has come to what the Bible has to say and what God has to say about the relationship between giving and receiving, about the relationship between us being generous and God then blessing us in return. And that's what I want to try to help us understand today. Here's an example of this kind of truth that has the potential to send us in the wrong direction. Here's Proverbs chapter 11. It says this. This is the wisdom of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It says this: give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Okay? This is true. This is truth and wisdom from the book of Proverbs. But when it's not understood properly, when it's not understood in the context of everything that Scripture teaches us about this, it can lead us to a dangerous understanding about God. And potentially, if this gets out of whack, if it goes in the wrong direction, it can lead us to something that is referred to as prosperity theology, or sometimes we refer to it as the prosperity gospel. Has anyone heard of the prosperity gospel? Okay, hands are going up. Okay, the most simple explanation of the prosperity gospel is this, that we can achieve personal gain and that God wants this for us, right? That we can achieve personal gain through acts of our diligent faithfulness, right? The more we give of ourselves and of our time and of our energy and especially our money, the more we'll get, right? The more we give, the more we'll get. Okay, this idea that we can obtain for ourselves personal health and wealth and the happiness through our own righteous good works and generosity, right? If we play our cards just right, God will be our genie in a bottle, granting every wish that we've ever wanted for life to the full, right? That's in a sense, that's the prosperity gospel. Now, I'm willing to bet that in a church like ours, most people are pretty quick to reject the idea of the prosperity gospel. Many sincere Jesus followers don't buy into the love Jesus, get rich kind of thinking. And that's good, because that's not how it works. Here's the problem, though. I still think that religious and non-religious people alike, in fact, I take it a step further to say that I have a hunch that maybe even some of you here today have slowly bought into the idea that it's becoming more mainstream today, which is this, that virtue and success go hand in hand. Virtue and success, they go hand in hand. You might be quick, and that's a good thing, you might be quick to reject the prosperity gospel, but I think traces of this kind of prosperity thinking have seeped into everyday life, have seeped into the way that many, many, many people think today, that good things happen to good people, right? That you, if you want God to do right by you, then you'd better do right by him. You better just pray harder or donate more when the right thing comes along that tugs at your heart, or serve selflessly, or go to church more, or, you know, help more old ladies across the street. And if you do, then God will reward you. Okay, now here's the deal. Praying, giving, serving, going to church, even helping old ladies across the street, that's all really great stuff that we should keep doing. But we don't do it because of the promise of what we'll get in return. It's not some kind of game of karma that we're playing. Okay, the goal in life, I mean, especially for a Jesus follower, which may be you, right? The goal in life, especially for a Jesus follower, it's not about the accumulation of stuff, right? It's not about the things that we can do that make sure that we also get in return. The Bible is very clear about this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 reminds us of this. It says this, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Luke chapter 12, another of Jesus's, kind of closest companions, he said, life is not measured by how much you own. You see, folks, God is clear to us that it's not about what we have and it's not about what we manage, what we can manage to get, okay? So if life is not about what we get, then getting should not be the motivation for our giving. And here's where it gets confusing then, because God still wants us to be generous. And like some of the things we've read, he may even respond to our generosity. But we need to understand clearly the connection between the two. And that's what I want to try to do today. And the connection becomes clearer only when we take into consideration the whole picture. Not when just one thing is said that's like, hey, be generous and it'll come on back to you. We got to look at the whole deal. We got to look at the whole shot. It's only when we take into consideration the whole picture, the whole trajectory of Scripture and of God's teaching about giving and about receiving and about generosity and about God's blessing, including verses like I just read. It's only then that it becomes clear for us. And it does become even more clear when we continue to pursue the bigger picture. And when we do, okay, we'll come across verses, we'll come in instructions, come across instructions like the one that I want to look at here from one of the first church leaders ever. His name is Paul, and he was one of the leaders of the, you know, the very first kind of movements, you know, of people following after Jesus. And look what he writes to the first ever group of Jesus followers in the city of Corinth, like 2,000 years ago. Here's what Paul writes. He says, remember this. He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That sounds kind of similar to what I have read for us so far, right? If you sow generously, then you'll reap generously. He goes on, each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then listen to this. I think what he says next cracks the code for us about this relationship between giving and receiving, about generosity and God's blessings to us. Verse 8, he says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly, right? Sow generously, you'll reap generously. Give what you have decided to give. Do it cheerfully. Why? Because God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, listen to this, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay? God is able to bless your generosity. Why? So that you can accumulate a big mass of wealth? No. So that having all that you need, you can abound in every good work. What is this saying? That God may indeed respond in kind to your levels of generosity. Some of the verses that I read way before, so this even too, it's getting at that idea that God may respond in kind to your levels of generosity, but it's not so that you'd get rich. It's not so that you ultimately come out on top or that you'd be the one to you know, come out ahead. It's so that A, if we listen to this verse, it's so that A, you'll have what you need, and B, you'll continue to be generous with what it is that you have toward others. You see, folks, God does respond to our generosity, just like he did for me and Erica, just like he did for my mom. He does respond, I think, to our levels of generosity, but the purpose of his response is not for the sake of our accumulation. It's for the sake of our greater participation in God's work in the world. Do we catch that? I think he does. He does respond to our levels of generosity, but it's not for the sake of accumulation. It's for the sake of greater, our great. He wants to encourage greater participation in God's work in the world. In that regard, Midcurrent, here's what we have to understand. The purpose of our giving, it's not about what we get. The purpose of our giving is so that God's blessings can keep flowing. We have to understand this distinction so that we don't take something that's true and then develop an understanding of God that is not. Yes, he does respond to our levels of generosity, but the purpose of our giving is not about what we get. The purpose of our giving is so that God's blessings can keep on flowing into our hands, and then out of our hands again, and then back into our hands, and then out of our hands again to keep this whole cycle of blessings in motion. We cannot become, friends, we cannot become dead ends on the highways and the byways of God's economy in the world, right? We can't be the end of the line. It's too risky. It's too risky even for ourselves. It's too risky for our own hearts. Let me see if I can paint you a picture of why or what exactly I'm talking about. One of the reasons, if I transition here, one of the reasons that the Dead Sea is one of the biggest tour attractions today is because it's got such a high mineral concentration that everything in it floats. Okay, swimmers and non-swimmers alike in the Dead Sea will float in the water. That's pretty cool. Right, I'd be interested in going to see that. Sounds like a lot of people are because it's a huge tourist attraction in the world. There's only one problem with the Dead Sea. It smells. It stinks. Why? Don't miss this. Because it has no outlets. Has no outlets. Any fresh water that comes in, it quickly becomes contaminated by the high mineral and sulfur levels, and it gets that nasty smell. Any water that does come in, it becomes contaminated and nasty because it just sits there. Fresh water might come in with some rain or maybe it's runoff or something like that, but it's got nowhere to go. It doesn't keep on flowing out of the Dead Sea, and as a result, the whole body of water stinks. Okay, that's what happens, folks. That's what happens when you and I choose to be a reservoir, not a river. Same thing happens to you and me when you and I choose to be reservoirs instead of rivers. Reservoirs are just big, giant holding tanks. Rivers are pipelines that keep fresh water moving from one place to another. Folks, we can't be reservoirs of God's blessings. I think he does heap them onto us, sometimes in response to our generosity, but we cannot become reservoirs of God's blessing. The word reservoir comes from the French word réserver, which literally means to reserve or to keep. Folks, that cannot be us. Why? Because everything kept in a reservoir, it gets contaminated because it's got... nothing is flowing from it. It's got nowhere to go. There's no movement of it whatsoever. It's a stagnant body of water, and anything stagnant starts to stink. Friends, I think the same is true with us. I think the same is true with us when it comes to what it is that God has given us. I think the same thing is true with us when it comes to our generosity and the reason why we give, right? The purpose of our giving, it's not some spiritual loophole that we've identified, right, in the, like, you know, God's, like, economic code that's allowed us to manipulate God into making us rich. It's so that God's blessings will keep flowing through us. And here's how I know that this idea of the prosperity gospel, this, like, you know, love God, get rich kind of deal, here's how I know that the prosperity gospel isn't all that legit, or just the idea. Here's how I know that the idea that virtue and success, that, you know, that don't go hand in hand. Here's how I know that equation just doesn't always work, because I know a lot of people who have a lot, but whose lives and hearts stink. And at the same time, I know a lot of other people who don't necessarily have a lot. They have everything that they need, but whose lives are beautiful and generous and constantly keeping God's blessings in motion. Mid-Current, God does, make no mistake, God does want us to experience his blessings. He does. But he cannot place blessings into the palm of a hand that is balled up into a fist with a tight grip on everything that we have. He finds great joy in giving to those who allow blessings to pass through their open hands from one place to another. So, friends, here's my encouragement to you, to all of us, to me. Let's be rivers, not reservoirs. Let's be rivers of God's blessings, not reservoirs of them. Okay? When we're rivers of God's blessings, not just reservoirs collecting them, when we're rivers, here's what happens. Number one, I really believe that our faith in God keeps growing. Our faith in God grows because God keeps showing up when we repeatedly leave space for him to show up. I've been saying to our church and to our team and our staff and our leaders for the last month or so that we won't experience God. So many people are like, I want to experience God. I don't ever do it, right? We'll experience more of God when we actually leave space, empty space in our lives for him to show up. When we actually leave a gap between where we are and we want to be, right? That's when God shows up, right? And so when we do, when we're rivers and constantly passing on what it is that we have and leaving empty space, our faith will grow because God keeps showing up in the midst of it. We have to understand the distinction here, right? We have to understand that God's blessings to us, they're not the product of our increased faith in him. That if we have more faith, then he's more, you know, gives us more blessings, right? We've got to understand that our increased faith in God is oftentimes the result of his blessing to us. It's not the other way around, right? It's not our faith equals God's blessing. It's God's blessing to us sometimes expands our faith. When he graciously provides for us the exact right thing at the exact right time, when we just weren't sure how we were going to make it work. Our faith grows. God shows up. God proves himself to us time and time again. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing that I think happens when we choose to be rivers, not reservoirs. Number one, our faith grows deeper. Here's the second thing. I think our impact and our influence as Jesus followers grows wider. Okay? I think our faith grows deeper because God keeps showing up and our impact grows wider. The reason that God honors our generosity, because I think he does, right? That's what makes this tricky. I do think he responds to it. The reason that he does, though, is not, God doesn't honor our generosity as a reward for good, righteous behavior. I think it's motivation for that God-honoring behavior and sacrifice and generosity to continue. It's not a reward. It's encouragement, it's motivation for that kind of life to keep on going, for all that stuff to keep flowing, for more people to experience it. It is a response, right? We often do experience God's goodness to us following our demonstrations of generosity, and that's why this is tricky. I get it. That's why I'm taking time to do this. That's why it's tricky to navigate all of this and to figure out where inaccurate thinking of God really takes off. I think God's blessings are often a response to our generosity, but it's not a reward, okay? It's not a, you know, like a little doggy treat that we get because we did what God wanted. Good for you. Take this home. Store it. That's not the point of it all. It's God's confirmation to us. It's God's confirmation to us that he's got us covered and that we can continue to give of ourselves freely, to actually just live a life of generosity rather than infrequent, you know, random acts of kindness or random acts of generosity. It's his confirmation that we can make this kind of generosity just a part of who we are because he will take care of us. It's his big heavenly wink to you and to me that he will provide. And then, having all our needs met, we can abound in every good work. We can be a constant flowing river rather than a stagnant reservoir. And when that's the case, our impact and our influence as Jesus followers will stretch farther and wider than before. There is a relationship, but the relationship is not the more we give, the more we get. No, the relationship is the more we give, the more God's blessing and God's goodness is experienced in more and more places. So let me ask you to consider something then this morning. Okay, you don't have to turn to a neighbor and share your answer with anyone next to you today. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take an honest inventory of your life. I want you to take an honest inventory and ask yourselves, what do you have more than enough of that might be starting to collect and might be even starting to contaminate the rest of you. Take an honest inventory of what you have more than enough of in your life and what it is that is maybe, you're collecting so much of it that maybe it's starting to stink. You gotta ask yourself, do you have extra time in your day that's starting to pile up? I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of people who'd say they have more than enough time on their hands, but maybe you do. Maybe you do. So the question is, how could you give of yourself and how could you give of your free time to people and to places around you that need it? Maybe you need to spend more of your time on the people and on the places that need it most, right? Maybe that's your kids. Maybe that's your spouse. Maybe that's here at church, or maybe that's somewhere else in the community, right? Some of you've got an incredible gift or a talent that others would benefit from more than you know. In fact, some of you you have a gift and a talent that honestly that there are most likely people sitting around somewhere praying or hoping, please, Lord, for someone to come along, to join the group, to join the team, to join the thing that's got the very gift, that's got the very talent that you do. So you got to ask, how could you use the gift that God has given you to be a blessing to her? Don't just hoard it for yourself. Don't just say, well, I don't, that's my, keep it flowing so that more people could experience it. So the more people could benefit from it, so the blessings of God would keep on flowing. Others of you, if you're honest, you've got extra money that is starting to pile up and you do not know what to do with it. And truthfully, if you were really honest, you might even admit that it is starting to stink in your heart, in your life, in your home. How can you use what you have to keep God's blessings flowing? Others, you might have an extra room or extra rooms in your house. You might have an extra seat around your table. You might have extra stuff somewhere that someone is in desperate need of. Whatever it is, you got to ask yourself, how can you use what you have, what God has provided for you, to abound in every good work, right? The more you give of it, the more your faith in God will grow, and the more impact, the impact that you have in this world as a Jesus follower, it'll spread like wildfire. We don't give it because of what God says we'll get in return. We give it because of what happens inside of us and what happens to the world around us. Here's the truth, folks. I want to live. This is me. I want to live. I want to live in places where rivers of God's blessings are flowing, not where reservoirs of God's blessings are collecting. I want to live in places where rivers are flowing, not where reservoirs are collecting. Imagine what our neighborhoods would look like. Imagine what your neighborhood would look like where you live right now if God's blessings to you flowed into your home and then right out the front door, spilling into the streets, right up to your neighbor's front door, right? Imagine if that's how this deal works, rather than having those blessings kind of, you know, start to pile up on the inside of your, you know, fenced in backyard. Imagine what our communities would be like if everyone used the best parts of themselves for the good of others around them, right? You don't have to be afraid of running out of whatever good God has given to you, whatever good you've got to be afraid of running out. I think that we get sucked into this kind of scarcity mindset. It's like, we think we got to reserve it. And you got to be afraid of running out, right? You just got to keep it going. The more you release it out of your one hand, the more you've created space to grab a hold of something else and to keep the whole train into motion. As soon as you let something go, you just created an opening for God to fill it with something new. Imagine what this world would be like if every single Jesus follower, starting with you and starting with me, imagine what it would look like if every Jesus follower was a river of God's blessing, not a reservoir, when it comes to what God has provided for them. right? When our hands are open, not gripping tightly to what we have, when our hands are open to receive, but also to release God's blessings to us, I think we'll start to see that God will meet and exceed our needs, as well as the needs of the world around us in amazing ways. Now, meeting the needs of the world around us, that may seem like an impossible mission, but I'd sure like to spend my time on earth trying. And I hope the same might be true of you too. So let's together, Mid-Current Church, let's do everything we can. Let's commit to ourselves and to each other and to our families and to our loved ones and our friends. Let's do everything we can to be rivers of God's blessings, not reservoirs. Let me pray. God, thanks for this morning, and thanks for the chance to be here, God, to open our hearts to you, into the truth, God, that you want us to learn. God, if I gotta be honest, I mean, sometimes this whole game, this whole church and faith and spirituality, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it can be confusing to know what's what and how we do this thing and which way's up and which way's down, God. And so I'm just praying, God, that you would help us in this moment. God, if something is not totally clear yet in our hearts based on what it is we're taking in today, God, I'm praying that you would help make it more clear. God, I really want us, the why matters, our motivation matters. So God, would you help us to understand the relationship that exists between giving and receiving, between our generosity and your blessing of us in response. God, help us to understand the why. God, help us to understand that we don't give, that we don't have open hands and open hearts, that we don't release things simply because of the promise that we'll get it back, you know, and we'll be able to store it up for ourselves. God, help us to understand that the reason we live like this, the reason that we try to act generously, the reason why we have open hands, the reason why we're rivers and not reservoirs, is so that your blessings can keep on flowing, that our faith would keep on growing, and that our impact would keep on growing more and more. God, help us to know that you are indeed heaping onto us so many blessings, so that having all that we need, we could continue to abound in every good work, knowing that you are by our side, knowing that you are there, knowing that you will take care of us. God, help us now to figure out, it's gonna be different for all of us. God, help us to figure out what it is that we have. God, help us to identify what it is that might be storing up and stacking up in us, preventing us from experiencing the greater flow of your goodness and your blessing in our life, God. And we pray these things in your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Mid-Current Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Mid-Current Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.